Folks, it's hard to find the perfect pair of jeans. You don't want to break the bank, but you need something that lasts. So the problem with jeans is that the really good pairs cost $200 or $300 easily, and the bargain brands just fall apart and look terrible. If you're sifting through sales racks just to find a decent pair of jeans under $100, you can call off the search party. 2017 is here, and you're already behind on this winter's hottest trend, so why not ignore all the fast fashion noise and buy something timeless? Delisted offers luxury gray denim at affordable price. Jeans that would normally cost you hundreds, Delisted has starting at just $75. They utilize the same fabrics, factories, and wash houses as the best known brands and designers, while skipping the markups and middlemen. The result, pure unadulterated denim without the retail runaround. Go to delisted.com, spelled D-S-T-L-D.com, and see where minimalist design meets maximum comfort. Delisted is your answer to elevated style without elevated prices. Just go to delisted.com right now and use the promo code FERAL at checkout and get 20% off your first pair. That's DSTLD.com, promo code FERAL. Five letters, folks. DSTLD.com for your jeans.
FERAL Audio.
Good morning, everybody. TGIF. Ba ba da ba 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 da ba 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 da ba ba. Jimmy Harrison, welcome to the forum. Happy to have you here. George Burton, hanging in there. Heidi Moore, always good to see Heidi. Hanging out. Gonna be a fun show today.
Folks, got a lot to get to. Might just do the whole show as Alex Jones today. I know I said I was going to retire that voice, but we are heating up here.
Oh man, we're listening to Hot Puppy A, coming down from the public royalty-free library, so as not to set off any alarm bells in the algorithms of Facebook. Used to start off with a, what's the buzz, tell me what's happening, what's the buzz, tell me what's happening. I'll tell you what, if somebody wants to do a cover of what's the buzz, tell me what's happening, what's the buzz, if someone wants to do a cover for that, their own nice cover, then it's got to be listenable. It can't be just junk trash. Maybe I can use that as the theme song. Welcome to Office Hours, the infrequent live Facebook call-in show that I've been doing now since the early summer, late spring. We've had some big developments while I was away in the Office Hours world. We've archived past shows up on the Feral Audio Network as a podcast, so you can subscribe to that by searching for Office Hours with Tim Heidecker. Through your podcast service, I encourage you to put down your morning coffee or your croissant or, you know, whatever you're up to. Go on to your preferred podcasting subscription application. Mine would be iTunes, or is it just called Apple Music? I don't know. Go ahead and subscribe now. Although I do feel a little bit like I'm talking to the kids in class who showed up on time, giving them a lecture about not being late. Ow! That was time nice. Oh boy. It's going to be one of those days, right? When the stars align. Wow, wow. Hope everyone's having a good... whether it's back to school or just easing into the fall here, easing into the autumn. Lots to get to. A couple of plugs real quick before we open up the phone calls. A couple of plugs. Like I said, the podcast is now available. I'm going to be doing stand-up at the Festival Supreme here in Los Angeles on October 29th. That's the incredible yearly Festival of Comedy and Music that the great Tenacious D puts on at the Shrine Auditorium. I look forward to seeing you there. I'm going to be doing what I do best. You know, getting up there and making the audience chuckle, forget about their shit lives for only a moment. I'm also going to be at something called the Sound on Sound Festival outside of Austin, Texas on Saturday, November 5th. I'm going to try to get in a day early and do something in Dallas on Friday, November 5th. That's looking good, folks. That's looking real good. I think that's about it. So that'll do it for me for the year in terms of being out there in the world. Lots going on. Let's just get into a call. Let's take Pedro. Oh, or Keith. Sorry, Keith. Hello, Keith. Hello, my love. Hello. Yeah, you all. It's not sounding great. You there? We lost Keith. All right, let's take another call then. It's a weird buzz going on. I'll have to investigate that later. How about this? Ketsky. Hello? Ketsky, are you there, darling? Not off to a good start. What about George Burton? Hey, George. Hello, George. Good, how are you, mate? I'm great. You know, I can't stop talking this way, unfortunately. That's the way it's going to go now. And that's who I am. Should we all do English accents on the call today? I think that would be a terrible idea, don't you? Oh. All right, well, how can I help you, bro? Where are you calling from? What's going on? Give me an update on you, my buddy, George Burton, son of Richard Burton. Cool. Ooh, don't do that, brother. Yeah, that ain't gonna work. I tell you what you do. You listening? Because I used to smoke like an ass. I used to smoke like a real dipshit. Can you turn your volume up? Someone's saying they can't hear you. Can people not hear you? I don't know. I can hear you. You know, hold, let me see. Oh, I know what's going on. Oh my God.
Folks,
Kutzes.
Hey.
Talk again. Now listen, Can you believe this? I'm so sorry, everybody. We got to start from scratch. Okay. I've been doing a terrible show. Terrible, terrible show. I was not, my audio device was not plugged in. Can we all hear? George, do a check 1-2 for me, baby.
Check 1-2.
All right. Are we in, folks? Can we say that we're in? Can someone give me a thumbs up that we're in? Keep talking. Test.
Test, A, 1.
Okay, thank you, Gabriel. Fixed. That's all I needed to see. I don't need anyone else chiming in. We're talking to George Burton, who's up here sorry, folks. Again, folks, I am sorry. Hold on. Vic, it's coming in now, I'm being told.
Okay.
Hey, caller audio isn't coming in. Is it now? I write. He writes back. Test 1-2. Come on, test. Give me in.
Oh, is that Big Burger?
Well, he's texting me, and I was gonna make it a big surprise that he's gonna call in, but now it's kind of that's been spoiled. It's so dim. I really do need some assistance here when I do this show. I cannot do everything. I'm a very forgetful, dumb guy. Just a dumb guy.
It's easy to make mistakes when you have those mixing soundboards and all that stuff set up. Don't give yourself a hard time.
All right. Well, listen, I was telling George. George was telling me that he's sitting there smoking cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
And you're trying to quit. You're using what? The gum, the patch, the whole pills and everything?
I don't want those pills. Those are bad. But the gum, I thought, like, might, or a lozenge could help me separate that hand-to-mouth motion.
Right.
Keep it real.
Here's what you do. I'm going to make it real easy on you.
Okay.
You go to a bookstore, you go to Amazon, wherever you get your books, and you get the David Carr's Easy Way to Stop Smoking book. All right?
David Carr. Okay.
Then you go to your health food store or some kind of Whole Foods or whatever, and you get those tea tree oil toothpicks. Okay?
Yes. Yeah.
You read that book. You do exactly what that book says. It's very strange. I know it's like you can't just read a book and your life changes, but it does happen. It happened for me. It happened for many people I know.
Yeah.
It's almost a subliminal thing. I think that's part of it. Some kind of thing that's happened in the back of your brain happens when you read that book.
Okay.
Someone, Julie, is recommending the Zone Theory book. That could help too. I don't know. I think that book might encourage smoking. We're not sure. We have not read the whole thing yet.
Yeah, we can't recommend.
But listen, and then those toothpicks, they're going to satisfy that oral need for you to have something going on in your mouth. It's also going to numb your lips and your tongue and stuff so that you wouldn't want a cigarette because it would be annoying and feel bad, right? So you do those two things. You call me back in 2 weeks. We'll check in on you. But you're not going to get there with the gum because all that's doing is keeping that nicotine going through your blood. It's keeping that addiction happening. And and we can't have you smoking, okay? I've lost too many people.
It's a bad thing. I've been doing it for a long time, and I'm going to take your recommendation. I really like the idea of those toothpicks, and I'll check out that book. Thank you so much, Tim.
All right. Great hearing from you, and take care. All right, lots to get. Again, sorry, folks. I had a great opening. I had that hot puppy kicking. And it was, it really blended well with, some of the work I was doing. Let's take, Vic, I saw you calling in. Just do me a favor, Vic. Call me on the hotline. Rubio. No. How about John Malmberg? John? Everybody's disappearing now. How about Ronan Keeley? Ronan. Incoming call from Nick Dunn. Nick? Why is everybody offline? Every day it's a different thing with this. Offline. I don't get it. Let's take a call from Vic Berger. Let's see. Let me call Vic here this way. FaceTime. Should I call your cell, Vil? Vil? We're back. Yeah, I do apologize. I'm still with Vic Berger. I don't understand exactly why that crashed. It could be the internet here, but it doesn't seem to be the internet here because you're still on with me. So, folks, come on back. Tell your friends. You imagine how great this show would be if it just kind of flowed normally like a regular show. So we'll wait till that audience builds up again. Maybe tell us a little bit about your day, Vic. Just kind of let's just fill in some time. Right. Where are you? You're in Bethlehem right now? Are you at the casino?
Yeah, I'm in Bethlehem. Yeah, I'm about to go put like about $50 on the roulette wheel. Getting ready to edit a little bit. And
Vic's got a new video up on Super Deluxe, this Harry Connick Jr. show with guest Sandra Bullock. You sent me this last night, and I think it's one of the great ones from you. I think it's
thank you.
Fantastic. So check out
thank
Vic's
you.
Latest video up on Super Deluxe or Vic Berger. What, Vic Berger Ford at
Facebook, Twitter. Just type in Vic Berger.
Do we have any questions for Vic Berger? Do we have any questions out there for Vic Berger? I want to jump in on the interactive element here, and I could facilitate. And at this point, I can't merge a call, so these are going to have to be coming in via the chat. Is anybody there got a good question? I can just read it off to you. Let's see. Hey, Vic. Someone says the Bob Larson video is funny. That was a great one. Go back and check out the Bob.
Thank you.
What's the story with him? Where'd you find him? And is that coming through the Jim Baker network somehow or not?
Yeah, not related, but I mean, they're in the same vein. you know, when I did the Jim Baker videos, somebody, I forget who it was, tipped me off to him. And he's this guy who is a real life exorcist. But his manner of removing the demons is to take a Bible and physically hit the person, or, you know, pretend they're stabbing them with the Bible or a cross. And he always gets the demons out, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it always works.
He always ends up happy. You know, it always works. So he's the best. That's why he charges like $500.
Let's see. No, every other question is shit. They're all just joke questions, and I don't think anyone wants to hear about that. All right, Vic. I'll talk to you soon. Right. I'm going to take some calls and give all the people what they want.
Take care, Tim.
Undivided attention. Thanks, Vic. Everybody, say thanks, Vic. Let's check in with, Drew. Let's see, Drew. Drew, what are you up to? Drew! Wake up, Drew.
Tim, I'm here.
Okay, great. What's going on?
Man. Hey, what's up, dude?
Sorry about all these technical difficulties we're having today, but I think it's a little bit par for the course, don't you think?
No, I feel bad for you. I know that it sucks. I mean, I know how it is, but we're going to get back on track. I'm glad I'm your first guest. I'm going to create a positive kind of
vibe. Absolutely not my first guest, but you're welcome to. Let me ask you, where are you calling from, and what can I help you with today?
I'm calling from Indiana. I've actually called in once before. I don't know if you remember, but I was I talked to you a little bit about Trump. Not enough people talking about him lately, so I talked to you a little bit. I work for the NPR station out here. I'm a reporter.
That's correct. I do recall our conversation. This is Drew calling in from the NPR community, basically.
Yeah, yeah. For a second, I thought you remembered my name, but I just realized it says it on Skype.
Yes, so, I did not. I've got all sorts of other things on my mind, unfortunately.
That's okay.
But listen, what did you make of his big speech this morning? That was pretty fun.
I slept through it.
Okay.
I didn't watch it. I'm getting a little exhausted.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was getting a little burned out on the whole thing, and just kind of not, as Billy Crystal would say to Stuttering John, it's not funny. It's not fun. But today was an interesting one. I think it's worth it's going to be all over the news, I think, what he did, and taking it to new levels, I'd say. Taking it to new levels.
Well, I did see that Jimmy Fallon played with his hair last night.
That was very cute, and he's now America's sweetheart. I think there's something lovable about the guy now, isn't there?
Yeah, he let him play with his hair, and so, I don't know, seems all right.
I feel really conflicted about Jimmy Fallon because he, first of all, I have friends that work for that show, and he was, Jimmy Fallon was, was very a big cheerleader for us. I mean, he's had us on the show and everything, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I also feel like I don't, I'm not really, it's harder for me now for some reason to kind of make fun of comedy and or to make fun of other comics. You know, I've done it before, of course, Russell Brand and all kinds of folks, you know, and part of me feels bad about it because I get it so much from other people, you know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like people hate my shit and that doesn't make me feel good, right?
Well, I mean,
so I'm trying to check that, you know, I'm trying to check that part of me. Trying to sort of put that in check.
I think if I could give my perspective on it, I'm not in comedy at all, but I've seen you do that stuff and I've seen other people do it. I feel like there's a difference between kind of talking shit about a comedian because you don't think they're funny and talking shit about a comedian because you think they're doing something inauthentic or fake.
That's a good point.
I feel like if you do the second, it's a lot less obnoxious and maybe more.
Right.
You know, it's still maybe weird for you if you know the person kind of, but I think it's less obnoxious and less kind of childish if you're doing that.
Well, people give, you know, and I think the whole late night format to me feels stale and sort of in its last leg of being something that even exists in the way it exists now, with this desk and a suit and a dumb prop microphone on the table, and you know, like that and if it's funny, you look at, like, you know, the ratings that something like Decker would get on a Friday night compared to any of those shows, maybe except Fallon, but that does pretty well. But you know, we beat them every time. Like we know it's just like more people that watch Adult Swim, you know, and that's been documented and everything. So these shows are kind of like dinosaurs anyways. And it feels like I hate watching all of them. They drive me nuts. They're just, you know, some actress, some actor comes on and tells about their summer vacation. I used to like, you know, David Letterman. I think he's great. And I would, you know, I'd love when somebody like Albert Brooks would come on and kind of create this really great natural sort of spontaneous or you know, a bit that would be kind of created for the event. And there was definitely a time and place for those kind of shows. Now I just feel so stale and old and expensive. God damn it, the money they must spend to make those shows has got to be a fortune. And so I kind of lumped Jimmy Fallon into just that whole pile of stuff, but you know, it's supposed to be a comedy show, so I don't expect him to come out and have Trump talk about his policy issues and stuff. He's going to have Hillary Clinton on tonight, so I'm sure he's going to be equally as sort of fluffy and light with her. If he isn't, if he starts talking about her emails or whatever, then that's kind of, then more and more it looks like, you know, somebody at NBC is like gunning for Trump, you know?
Yeah.
I imagine he'll just have her on and have her play, you know, drinking games or something, or talk about, you know, make light of her fainting the other day or something and have a good old time with it.
Did you ever feel weird about the Daily Show's role in all of that? I always thought it was really strange how John would just bat away any kind of criticism because he said, well, we're a comedy show. But he went so far in that direction, but still refused to acknowledge that he was going there, it seemed like.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think he was fairly transparent about his subjectivity.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyways, I think people are yawning at this conversation.
No, I know. Can I ask one more interesting question? So I love hearing about people that I like and what else they like. I don't know if it's weird for you to talk about it because you feel like you're kind of, I don't know. But you guys, you and Eric, I remember mentioned True Stories a while ago, the movie.
Yep.
And I ended up watching that and really liked that movie. And I feel like it's really similar to another thing that I've never heard you guys talk about. But do you guys like Errol Morris's stuff?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Errol Morris. I know that's like a yes or no question, but
Yeah, you know, and it was not to say that this is the same thing, but I watched Lo and Behold last night.
I haven't seen that yet.
Which you know, was good. It was Werner Herzog's latest documentary about the internet. It was very, very enlightening and interesting. And I got to say, man, there was like two or three moments where I fucking laughed so hard at him. And there was one moment where he's talking to this girl who's addicted to video games, and she was in treatment, or she was at some facility, and I should have got a clip of it, but he's like, did you ever feel like you were that character in the in the game? And she's like, she has this like little weird moment where she's like, I can't talk about that because if I'm still in treatment and if I start talking about it too much, it's gonna, you know, I'm gonna slip back into that. And so he cuts away to like some trees or something. He's like, I very much wanted to ask her about the little troll that she might be in this fictional game, but I had to resist my urges. And but the way he fucking said it was so, he didn't need to say that at all. And it made my wife and I just fucking cackle. But he's great, and yeah, of course, all that stuff's great. I very much wanted to ask her about this fictional troll or whoever. Like, he didn't know what the character was. She never said what the character she was playing in the video game was. He just sort of like jumps to this conclusion that it was some kind of troll or some kind of a gnome, I think is what he said. It was like, I wanted so badly to ask her about the short, puffy gnome that she was playing in this game, but with all my might I resisted. He's the best. You know, I met him once.
I did too. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is about me.
I wanted to.
What was your experience? Because I have a good.
It was really short. I mean, he came to Bloomington. There's a really great movie theater in Bloomington, Indiana, and he came and talked a little bit before his movie. So I just shook his hand and said I liked him. Great. That was it.
I was Eric and I were in the Directors Guild office appealing a case where we were supposed to direct something together, and they have sort of strict rules about partners directing stuff, co-directing. And we're sitting in this waiting room, and Werner Herzog comes in because he was there appealing something as well. And he said, "What are you here for?" And we said, "We're trying to co-direct this thing." And he looks at us, he goes, "What you have to do is explain to them that you are the one who talks to the actors, and you are the one who worries about the camera. And together, you have to be together, because if not, it is a disaster for the film, you see?" And he just got fully invested and into the situation. It was incredible. "You must do this. It has to be," you know, it's great.
Yeah. He doesn't really get halfway into things.
No. All right. I'll talk to you later, Drew.
Okay, please do On Cinema Forever.
I'll do it as long as I can possibly stand.
No.
Greg. Andy Woods calling in. Andy's listed as offline. So this is a new development here. What about David? David, are you there? Anybody there? I hear slight...
Hey, Tim.
Hey.
No, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here,
David, Tim. Can you speak up?
Oh, man.
Can you hear me?
Tim, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
This is Andy. I'm here.
Oh, hey, Andy. I think I got two calls going. This is new. Andy.
I can hear you. Is this Tim? Is this Tim Heidecker?
This is Tim. Is this Andy?
This is Andy, yeah. This
All is Andy. Right, Andy. Where are you calling from?
Oh, boy.
Are you going to talk?
Yeah.
What's up? What's going on, man? What are you doing to me here? Is this a prank? This is a prank? All right. Let's take another call. Landon. Something bizarre is happening today. Landon. I can't find the area where... Oh, boy. Let me just... I'm going to quit. Sorry, folks. I'm quitting Skype. We're doing a reset on Skype because Skype is giving me some trouble. Would love to play music, but I'm worried that I'm going to shut this down. Let me thank somebody real quick. David Barman sent me a fascinating book. David, if you're listening, please, 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 I just want to let you know, thank you so much. Sent me a wonderful book. The name of the book is... Crossing the Next Meridian. David sent me this. He called in several episodes ago talking about the Columbia River out there in Oregon. And I am fascinated by the subject of the West. I'm a cowboy freak. Love cowboys and cowboys and Indians. But I am interested in, I'm reading this book about the Lewis and Clark dudes. Those guys were pretty cool, hanging out on the west side of the country, channeling through these Rocky Mountains. And it's making me, you know, because I live in the West now, and it does make me wonder, does anybody really belong out here? The resources are not necessarily... sufficient for the quantity, for the number. All right, I'm back online. I'm going to try Seth Perry. Seth.
They're not necessarily.
Hey, Seth.
Yeah, hi. Hey. Sufficient for the quantity.
God, what's going on?
I'm back online.
Hey,
I'm going to try.
Could Seth you mute your stream, Seth?
Necessarily.
Hey, Seth. Hey.
Yeah, hi. Hey.
This is a.
God, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Tim. It's wonderful to talk to you.
Okay, can you speak up a little bit? You're coming in a little quiet.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now, you're coming in loud and clear now, Seth. Thank you for adjusting.
I was really concerned because we just watched some sort of web series you do, and you're horribly burnt.
Looks like you're watching On Cinema.
I'm just wondering, because you're so horribly burnt, I was concerned that you're doing office hours right now. I'm just wondering what's going on.
Well, that's a TV show, even though it's on the internet. And I said this many times, you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit. And I won't be. I'm happy for the enthusiasm, and I'm happy to take people's calls about the subject. I'm not going to speak too much about it, and I think that is because the On Cinema family deserves that kind of respect. And I'll leave it at that.
Oh, okay. They what kind of respect do they deserve? I want to be a part. I want to be a part of that family.
Okay. Listen. All you have to do is respect the boundaries that exist in the show, and understand that office hours is a universe that exists outside of that universe. And now you're talking to the creator, Tim Heidecker, God himself, of such concepts as On Cinema, Decker, Heidecker and Wood. Tim from Tim and Eric, Tom from Tom Goes to the Mayor, John from the new show, Jan Schuyler. So you understand there's just so many iterations of this one man here that you're talking to. And I understand it gets confusing, but I'm asking you to use your head.
You know, I do use my head, and sometimes I feel like you're such an integral part of what entertainment is.
Yes,
that you're almost like a spirit.
I am a spirit. Thank you. I'm a spirit hovering over all of you, and I watch you all sleep, and I enjoy it.
You're such a pervasive spirit.
I'm such a perverted spirit.
Sometimes pervasive that you know, I'm at work sometimes, and then I will feel overcome, and I will be saying things, and I'm like, is that Tim or is that Seth talking?
Wow. Well, I've had quite an impact on you, Seth. Thanks for the call. Let's take David. David.
Hello. I do use my head, and sometimes...
Use your screen, please.
Screen. Just give me 1 second.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Where are you calling from? Hey. How can I help you?
I'm calling from Gainesville, Florida.
Home of Thomas Petty.
Yes. And who else? There's a freaking...
Doesn't matter who else.
Skateboarder Rodney Mullen.
Don't care.
King of freestyle skate.
Doesn't matter. Talking about Pet.
Have you seen his documentary? It's like 3 hours.
Yes, of course I watched that documentary. I watched it actually on the, I don't remember what year it was, one of the big Tim and Eric tours. I think the one where we traveled with David Liebehart and James Quall and a few other people on a bus. And I have fond memories of lying in my bunk with a DVD of that super long Tom Petty video, a documentary, and I enjoy the heck out of it.
Yeah, it was really long. I thought the way Tom was able to talk about himself was pretty remarkable. I don't know very many people who are able to kind of.
Have you read the biography that came out last year?
No.
It's great. I love Tom Petty.
Yeah, his music's great, man. There's something about a 3-hour thing. I don't know. It was too much for me, but
too much. But if you're on a bus and you're trying to kill time, and you know, I love that. I longer the better. That Eagles documentary, keep going. Make that fucking 6 hours, 8, 10 hours. I don't care. I'm into.
Well, if you had the DVD, was there bonus content?
Shit, I don't know, dude.
All right.
I didn't get to that home menu. I just pressed play, and that damn thing started.
All right.
How can I help you today? We're not here to talk about Tom Petty. He's got enough attention.
Okay. I was gonna ask, have you seen what goes down after Eric Andre on Adult Swim, The World Peace?
No.
Oh, you haven't watched it? It's pretty good. It's a $1 million extreme shit.
Cool.
Check it out. It's kind of weird, dreamlike stuff. They incorporate all this politics, so it kind of makes me sick.
You don't like that?
Yeah, I don't know. Because they're right wingers. They're like the alt-right kind of people. I'm surprised you haven't heard about it, but
sounds
the type
cool.
of people.
Sounds like cool guys.
Yeah. And then another thing I was going to say, are you part of the alt-right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw you in San Francisco and the 10-piece band, you know?
Yeah.
And you were like, I like a good show. I had a good time. It was great to see you having a good time on stage. But there is a point where you use the word rape. And I was kind of thrown back because, you know, I take you for like a progressive guy.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, was it just kind of, and because you didn't seem like sorry either. It was kind of like, oh, trigger warning. And I was wondering, you know, where that kind of like how that aligns with the rest of your politics.
I'm not intimidated by language. I don't, I don't know the context of which I said that. I'm sure it was, I think it was probably in reference to the Grateful Dead raping my ears or something like that.
You said you were going to rape the Grateful Dead. And you,
there you go.
You were, it was a pretty good bit. I liked it. But I love the Dead also. Cool.
Yeah, I see your picture with your tie-dye shirt on.
Yeah, it's actually a Grateful Dead shirt. The 88 tour. Classic times.
Good stuff. Well, listen, you try to paint me into a box of somebody that's got to line up on a certain number of things perfectly. I'm not that guy. I'm my own man. I'm going to use the words I want to use, considering the situation I'm in. Does that mean I'm for rape? Does that mean I think that rape is a good thing? No! Come on! Use your head!
Yeah. All right. I just, you know, it can, you know how it can make people feel uncomfortable, right?
Well, sure. And a lot of things I do make people feel uncomfortable. There's a lot of things in the world that make me feel uncomfortable. Kapoosh? I'm not worried about making people feel comfortable. That's not my job, okay? I'm not working for Lazy Boy. I'm not working for Sleep Number.
What kind of bed do you sleep on?
That's private information. How dare you? You stay out of my bedroom, you scum. Come on, Dave, I'm kidding with you. We were talking about petty 2 minutes ago. Why are we yelling at each other?
Yeah, I don't know. You kind of freaked out. I think you feel embarrassed, man.
Embarrassed about what? My bed?
No, you won't say. I think you sleep on a futon.
I sleep on a fucking beautiful mattress. We're talking top of the line. You get that? Tempur-Pedic. I think it's a Sealy. I'll be honest with you. And guess what? I sleep like a baby.
I was going to say...
Do you have anything else to add to this?
I was going to ask, if your bed's so comfortable, what could I do to make my bed more comfortable? It is a futon.
Well, get a life, get a job, save some money, work hard, treat yourself to a nice mattress. Okay? You don't deserve a big, nice mattress right now, I can tell. You got to put the time in. You got to work hard. You got to save those bucks. Let it pile up. Pile it up. And then you go down to Sealy. You go down to Lazy Boy. You go down to Sleep Number. You take that trip down. Where do you live in? You live in, Gainesville, right?
Yeah.
Is there a little mattress row there, about 6 or 8 stores that are all working to sell you mattresses?
There's like one.
Let them do the job. Let them sell you on the best mattress. Okay.
Have you ever gotten a used mattress?
I gotta go. I can't talk about mattresses all day. Todd Howard. Oops. Todd. Oh boy, Brandon Douche. What is this fucking world we've come? Todd?
Hey there, Tim. How's it going?
Oh, you know, pretty good.
Oh, that's good to hear. Oh, man. I was going to ask you about what you thought of Sam Hyde, but you said that you hadn't watched the Million Dollar Extreme show. So I was going to add that I watched the Vic Berger thing on Super Deluxe, where he went to the conventions.
Yeah.
And you did the funniest Alex Jones impression. It was... Oh my gosh. I don't like people mocking me, Tim.
Come on.
You're hurting my feelings.
So you like that? You like the whole special?
Yeah, it was really good.
Thanks,
it was
buddy.
Really good. Oh man. But I was curious what you think of InfoWars, like if you have any sort of insight into their sort of weird propaganda, because it kind of surprised me when I first looked into them that they have so many followers.
Oh, well, yeah, there's a lot, you know, I think it's a clown show, really, mostly. It seems like a comedy show to me. it's suddenly gotten a little bit of legitimacy, I guess. And it's become, you know, they've upped their production value. And I don't know, man. I just, half the things he says sound like totally made up on the spot. I think that's probably what it is. It's not that hard to do that shit. You know, I could probably do 2 hours of that if I really wanted to. If I had some newspapers in front of me and some websites open, you just start reading crap, you know, connecting dots that aren't there. And then he's got minions out there making, you know, they're trying to make mountains out of molehills. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
And then you just hawk shit. You know, you just sell. It's like anything else. You just sell your crap, your pills. Yeah. And people perhaps are comforted in his rhetoric because there are truly problems, you know, in the world, and the world does seem to be sometimes spinning out of control, and the conspiratorial minded people find great comfort, I think, in knowing that there is any kind of explanation for it or reason for it, even though it might be a devious one to them. But it perhaps is more settling or comforting to know that there is at least somebody doing something coordinated, that it's not just chaos. But in fact, it is chaos. The world is spinning around, and there's no rhyme or reason for why. Okay.
Yeah, that was a really good answer. I'm glad I asked you.
Thanks, Todd. This is Todd Barry on the phone. No, Todd Howard, sorry.
Yeah, Todd Howard.
All right, take care. I'll take a call from Harley.
Hello.
Hey, Harley.
How you doing, friend?
Good, man. How are you?
Well, I'm hanging in there, Tim.
Where you calling from? Can you turn yourself up a little bit?
Turn myself up?
Yeah.
Whoa, I'm having audio technical problems, so I can't hear you.
I'll you sound good. You sound good, brother. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Richmond, Virginia. Maybe you remember the last time I called and we talked about my wrestling federation, Chikara.
Oh, yes. Are you here to plug that again? Because if you are, it's going to be hang-up time.
Well, that was it, but...
All right, Chikara, check out wrestling if you like that shit. All the best. All right, let's try Andy Woods again. Andy? Hold on. Andy? Hold on. Andy, you there? Andy? Boy, oh boy. It's weird. We go on a nice little run there where everything's working, and then things start crapping up again. Oh well. Very low stakes. Pedro?
Hello.
Hey, baby.
You all right?
What's up?
Fine, and you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
From Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Welcome to the show from the Southern Hemisphere, talking with Pedro Carbone. Pedro, how are you? What's going on down there in Rio? Are you recovering from those Olympics? Thank you very much. The floor is yours.
Yeah, the Paralympics are happening now.
Oh, that's nice. That's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's life like for you down there in Rio? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
What's new? What's going on?
No, nothing new. All the same.
Do you got a question for me?
Yeah. When are we seeing more of Rock and Roll Gary?
Oh, baby. Well, I don't know. You know, it's been a while since I've done him, and I've got to figure out what to do with him. You know, I can't keep doing him. I've got a great friend named Chris who does a great version of him as well, or could be a associate of him, you know. And I'd love to do an interview with him. You know? So we might do that, I don't know.
Cool. Well, what you been up to?
Do you like him? Do you like Rock and Roll Gary?
Yeah, yeah, I like him very much.
I love it. You love him, mate. I love it.
Have you been hanging out with Bono? Bono Vox?
I don't know him that well. I know the drummer, Adam.
Yeah.
And Adam Clayton, isn't he a good one? He's a great drummer. One of the greatest drummers of the 80s and 90s. He changed the game there, mate. Yeah. And he's a strange bloke, though, you know, he's a strange one. Adam Clayton, and this is absolutely true, Adam Clayton has a dungeon, and it's located in Dublin, and I went there once because I know him very well, and I had some dirt on him. I had some information about some activities he had done on the Rattling Hum tour, and at this time, this was about 10 years ago, I went to his home and I said, listen, baby, I've got something that I'm going to go take the press. I've got Rolling Stone on the line and they want to know if it's true. Because between you and me, mate, you threw a girl off the roof of a hotel in Las Vegas. And I have the video of it. Yeah. And he goes, come on in, mate, let's talk about it. He made me some tea and we had a talk. And I said, I don't want to get you in trouble, Adam. I love you too. I love Rattling Hum. I love Zootopia. Zeropa. And I tell you, mate, I don't want to go to the press with this, you know. And he goes, well, listen, I've got to show you something. So he takes me down, opens a couple of locks, and he goes down to his dungeon. And down here, about, I'd say, about 10, 12, 13-year-old girls who must have been down there for weeks, and he hadn't fed them. And you could tell that they were on death's door. And he says, I'll let these girls go if you burn the tape. And it was the hardest decision I've ever had to make because I wanted so badly to make about, I would have made probably $25,000 on that tape. Rolling Stone was going to give me 25 quid. And guess what, mate? I went the other way. I let those girls free.
Good job.
So that's that. All right. We've got to go, Pedro.
Okay. See you.
A lot of energy coming in from Pedro. How about Babu? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boo. Ba, 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 boo.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you.
First of all, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Sweden. I have called before.
Okay. I got a chill running up my spine with that one. Jesus. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm talking to Eichmann. Jesus.
Have you ever thought of doing another special, like Crimber special, but something else?
You know, it's funny because there's so many things we want to do, you know, it's just figuring out when and just, you know, how we're going to do it. So, you know, there's probably going to be something I can't say, you know, for sure. But I'm, you know, just loving it, being able to be creative, you know, just really over the moon about it, you know, just absolutely love it. You know, Jesus, you know, who am I to make anything, right?
All right.
All right. I'm going to take a lady caller. Emily. Emily, you're on the line.
Who am I? Hey. To make any.
Oh, geez. Okay. What's
Hello?
Up? Yeah. How are you?
Good. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing pretty good today.
Calling you from Florida. You can answer in whatever accent you want.
Okay. Sorry I'm doing all these voices today, guys. I don't know what's in. What's gotten into me. I got bitten by a comedy bug this morning on the way to work.
Hey, that's a good thing. Hopefully not the same bugs that David Liebehart had sex with, but that's okay.
Oh, geez.
I'm calling because it was posted on Reddit this morning, and I'm really curious. I've heard rumors about the origin of Chippy being that Eric used to talk about, where's my Chippy? Like Chipotle, like you would order lunch. But what the heck is the origin of Chippy?
Well, no, the Chipotle, this predates Chipotle, okay? As far as I know. Okay. I don't know if Chipotle started as some kind of mom and pop shop down in Santa Fe or something, but I think this is the story we've told before, but there was these like German pornos that we used to watch that somehow we got a hold of, and they were
together.
Yeah. But for comic, we weren't jacking it together. You know, we weren't sitting there with our drawers down.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. I would remember that.
I believe you.
We were watching them because they were funny. They were really strange because they were kind of overdubbed, but the overdub was like a narration of the porno, not really like a straight overdub of the dialogue. And this guy had the best. He sounded a little like Werner Herzog. Speaking of Werner Herzog earlier, and he kind of would describe the scene. So he'd be like, the man approaches the girl, and he is very in love. Wants to. He has much lust for her. The chippy, and then so he would say, the chippy unbuttons her dress, and he'd say, look at this chippy. She's going to get some, you know. And it would be like that. And so he kept saying, he'd go, this to chippy saw Randy for the man as he comes in the door, you know.
Okay, are you sure this is the real answer and not just another opportunity to use your accent?
No, it really is. It really is. As far as I remember, that's the order. So we started calling people chippies. And, hello, chippy. Hello, my chippy. Ah,
but
yes,
then you turned a poor preference to a young little baby boy.
That I can't say. I mean, I don't know. That just sort of happens in the editing room and playing around with stuff. It's we're not meant to be calling for child molestation or anything.
I wouldn't think so. Okay.
Thanks for the call. I'm sure people appreciate hearing that story. Take care. Love you. Let's take Brantley Jones. Brantley Jones.
Damn.
What's up?
So, great to talk to you. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if you have any like cameos in movies coming up. You must be hit up all the time, right?
I'm hit up all the time.
All the time.
All the time I'm hit up. Hit up the side of my head, maybe.
Yes.
I've done a few things recently that will be coming to the cinemas. I did a movie called The Girl I First Loved, which was very well received at Sundance. And I was sort of doing my usual dramatic acting as a teacher, guidance counselor. You know, I'm usually cast in these movies as lately I've been getting cast as like a teacher or a dad or some kind of, you know, I'm starting to get typecast. So, you know, I generally, if I'm available and seem to like the people making the thing, I'm pretty easy to get in your project because it's fun to work. It's fun to work with other people. I got a real neat experience to go up into Portland and do Portlandia a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
That was fun. I'm just a huge fan of Fred and Carrie, and Fred is, you know, just was on our show, of course, and a dear, dear man, and I think maybe he's in my top three or five funniest people in the world.
What about Danny McBride? Do you have any good Danny McBride stories from Eastbound?
Not really. I mean, I had a wonderful experience. We had great times, good barbecuing, and good playing around with each other. I know the scene. I do recall the scene where he comes into the house and calls me a liar, and we have this big confrontation. I don't know what was going on. We're all a bit loopy and tired. And, geez, man, we just couldn't stop laughing. He couldn't stop laughing. It was so, it's one of those just, unprofessional, as you can imagine, experiences. Yeah. We're like, how are we, what are we, you know, you just, sometimes you have those moments where you go, what are we doing? And how do we get here? And, this is so silly. And we have to play it really dramatically and we're yelling at each other. So there was a lot of cracking up, but, he's a dear, dear man. Dear, dear man. Unfortunately.
Keep going.
No, I was going to make a dumb joke that he's passed away or something, but I gave up.
I have one quick recommendation for you. So, a huge Decker fan, and okay. I'm wondering if you have heard of this book called The Terror Assaulter.
No.
It's a comic book by Benjamin Mara.
Okay.
You really should check that out.
Is it legitimately good, or is it something?
It's legitimately good. Okay. It's about like a CIA. It's got the Decker vibe in there.
Good. Maybe I can steal some plot lines. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call, Brantley. Take care. How about an Eric Delgamino? Eric Delgamino.
Close enough.
Hello, Eric Delgamino. How do you say it?
Degliomini.
Oh my God, dude. That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But how can I help you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York today.
Ooh, that's my favorite New York town in New York. Jesus, you know, I grew up in Brooklyn, and a lot of people, still live there. I just mean, Jesus. What do you got, Eric, today?
I am at work.
Where do you editing. Work for Vice?
Nah, I wish.
What do you work for? American Apparel? are you working in the city?
No, I work in a Bushwick, in a small production type company.
Mom and pop.
Yes.
So what can I help you with today?
I just wanted to say, I know this is kind of old hat because this was about a month ago, but I just wanted to let you know that one of the most genuine, heartwarming things I've seen all summer, and I'm not trying to goof on you or anything, was you running up to and hugging Eric Andre after he got off stage with Alex Jones in character as Alex Jones.
Right.
I just thought that was very heartwarming, knowing that the both of your relationship as the producer or one of the executive producers of his show.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Eric's a very sweet guy. Obviously we're all putting on a show, and but he is a nice guy, and I was not expecting to see him there. We were both doing our different things, you know. I didn't know what his plan was, and so I was, I was filming the Alex Jones speech, and was just happened to, oh, there's Eric over there, then kind of caught the whole thing. And we were all just sort of running on adrenaline that day and not knowing exactly what the plan was, what was going to happen next. And so, it was just good to be see some friendly faces. I think that I'm sure he'd say the same thing. Thanks, cool. Eric.
No problem. Have a good one, man.
Bye. This is turning into a pretty good show. It started out at a zero. John Malmborg.
See some friendly faces. I think.
Mute your stream now. Mute it now.
Hello.
Hey, John. What's up?
Hey. I was wondering what your take is on the emergence of artificial technology and the effect that will have on people's lives and technology.
I'm so glad you asked. I am the preeminent expert on the subject.
Yes. Yes.
And it is important to get my take on this if we're going to move forward. It is fascinating to me, to be honest. Obviously, we can talk about Kurzweil and the singularity and the direction that it seems to be heading right now. I was reading something a couple weeks ago, Walmart laying off, 7,000 jobs or something in their accounting department.
Okay.
And the answer to and the explanation was kind of vague, but it basically said we've updated the systems we use to do this kind of work. ... I think you know what we're saying. Mm-hmm. These are now kind of automated systems that don't require human beings. And you just got to see how this is going to cascade throughout the world economy, and it's not going in another direction. It's going in the direction where it's going to make the most sense for many companies to adjust the way they do business to accommodate automation, artificial intelligence, and it proposes a very serious question, very serious problem about what do people do?
Right. What do people do with their time when they're
automate? Yes. What do people do? How do we keep these people happy? How do we keep peace? How do we give people purpose?
Right.
And that's the big question. I think it's partly respond. That's the some of the that's a big underlying issue that's driving some of the politics right now. And it's not talked. It's not very. It's never discussed. Right. Never no, comes up.
Well, there is a political party. I'm not plugging it, but it's the Transhumanist Political Party. It's actually a thing.
And they represent machines or what?
What they're trying to do is just bring to light the idea of like putting technology at the forefront of public policy. It's kind of a fringe political movement, but right. It starts the question.
I think it's the most important one of the in the top three problems that we'll be facing in the next 50 years for sure. Now, will something? Here's a question for you. Will something happen globally that sets back technology in a way that makes the automation progress that's happening sort
right.
of
right? If there was
irrelevant.
Like a world war,
well, or if there's a major natural disaster, or a sunspot, or something major that kind of takes tech back, sets us into sort of a dark age.
Right. We need more than just information technology. There has to be advancements in material resource, you know, excavation, those sort of things to sort of keep up with the pace that we'll need
right.
for the future.
The other idea is that you approach a utopian situation where you have, listen, the guy that was, driving a truck across the country in two generations, that idea might seem absurd, and that person who normally would now be driving a truck across the country or doing anything that's sort of blue collar or laborious, you know, takes hard work. Mm-hmm. That person, there might be a way for that person to have a much more satisfying, happier, fulfilling life doing things that don't involve, you know, a sort of blue collar or sort of a repetitive job that can now be automated.
Absolutely.
But what is that? Are we going to go to Mars? I mean, are we going to, is everyone just going to put on virtual helmets and live in a 3D version of what they think paradise is?
Well, I think that's going to have to be a big part of it because there's an ethical question. If the majority of people in the world are not providing an economic service through being a worker, then how do you satisfy them? And, therefore, I think you do need, a virtual space for people to continue living their lives.
Virtual space for people to continue living their lives. Oh, man. I hope
that's depressing,
gone.
Right?
I hope I'm gone by then.
You might not be with the way things are going. So.
No, it's accelerating.
You'll have to do it.
John, tell me about yourself. Where are you calling from? And you're such a smart guy. I got to have you on the show more often.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling from Tucson, Arizona. I'm a student at the University of Arizona.
All right. Well, then you're responsible for figuring this out. We need solutions.
I will do my part.
That's why, by the way, politically speaking, I'm not a big, I get called this shill for Hillary and shill for I'm some left wing nut and whatever from these idiots. The truth is, I feel very disconnected to a lot of what these politicians are saying, because a lot of these, I've said this before, a lot of these ideas just feel like old ideas that have not been upgraded to the current condition that the world is in right now.
Yes.
Correct?
They often say that the government is approximately 30 years behind reality. I think that's a fair sort of generalization.
Yeah. I mean, we need big thinkers to come in and say, listen, okay, founding fathers were great, or they weren't great or whatever. We set up a system for this country, but the game has changed.
Touche.
And no one's saying exactly how to adjust the rules so that it can all work. But at the same time, I go back and forth because when I do travel around, I go out, do stand up, I do play music, I go to towns, I go to cities. Sometimes you look around and see this, everything seems to be running pretty smooth.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you go out and there's a line at Starbucks and there's the malls are filled and the roads are full of traffic and people are living their lives. And if you just look at Alex Jones and Rachel Maddow and the Huffington Post and the Drudge Report, to go on two sides of the spectrum, as I so deftly just did. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a picture that's being painted of, you know, the sky is falling, but I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it thinks you can make an argument that the Italian gentleman, the clown from Italy, Benigni, Roberto Benigni might say, life is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think humans have a way of sort of, doing the things that they do, regardless of sort of greater geopolitical concerns. People just have their daily lives and they go about them.
Yeah. They barely have time to keep up with the TV shows that they are sort of feeling sort of guilty into liking.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll try Andy Woods one more time. I don't know what Andy's problem is. Andy.
Do you hear me?
I hear you, but you have to speak louder.
Okay, I really apologize. We had some technical issues there.
We absolutely did. But what can I help you with today?
All right, I've got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
On the lighter side of whether people take into account geopolitical concerns for their everyday life, this is a bit lighter than that. My first question is, what's your favorite Pavement album? I've heard you're a fan of Pavement. I think you said it on Mark Maron's podcast once.
I mean, Bright in the Corners.
Yeah.
Slanted and Enchanted. Wowie Zowie. After that, I don't know. Yeah, first of all, I should say, I don't do favorites. You know that about me. But you got pretty specific there, so I think that's fair for me to... get in the shallow end of that situation and give you, you know, sure. I'll go with that's my order.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I'm a fan of Crooked Rain.
Did I not say that one?
No, you didn't.
That's the first one I listened to that's what drew me in.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my first exposure to Pavement too. And
that's probably my number one. I forgot about that one. Crooked Rain.
Righteous. That's a good album. I run to that album a lot. It's good for fitness, surprisingly. Motivation. Anyway, my other question. I have a friend who has toured with David Lieba Hart. He's going to be doing some more shows with him, I think.
Let's plug him.
Well, his name's Jay Shingle. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's out of Portland. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio, by the way.
Go ahead.
I met David because I was staying with this friend. He was hosting David, and it's strange that David's like out on his own now. And I saw the show, and it's like 40 some minutes of some pretty excruciating music. He's got a beat maker now, cool dude who we also met. I just wanted to know what your relationship with David Lieba Hart is now. He was throwing around a lot of things. Of course, he loves to talk about his involvement with you and Eric.
He sometimes goes into this thing where he says we're Satanists and we're homosexuals, and quite an imagination, and he comes by the office from time to time when he's not on the road, and we have a good chat, check in, have a good time catching up with what he's up to. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be, for better or for worse, in my life for a long time.
Yeah, you think you'll work with him more?
Oh, yeah. I love him, and he's they broke the mold with Dave, Id, Lieba Hart. Mm-hmm. He's endlessly entertaining to me for just the way he naturally communicates and expresses himself.
Totally,
I love him. He's he's absolutely out of, from another planet. I think that's the best way to say it. And there's nothing to be... There's no judgment there.
Oh no, I think he's really just the character in reality is those are my favorite types of people.
All right, thanks, Andy.
Yeah, thanks.
The human beings aren't just a bunch of cookie cutters. Capiche?
Capiche.
All right. Life, live, Half Moon Skies, whatever that means. What's that? Who's this? Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Hello? How about Ronan? Ronan!
Hello.
Hello, Ronan.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ireland.
Oh, great to hear from me, Irish brogue friends of mine. Hey. How about some Irish butter, my friends?
That's a great accent.
I'm dropping it. I'm out of it. I did too much already. I'm blowing it.
No, please.
How can I help you?
I was just wondering, are there any English comedians or comedy acts
that... I got to hang up on you. Your sound quality is awful. I think you just said, are there any Irish comedians I like or no? No, I'm not... I don't know anything about that. I don't pay attention to nothing but my own work. Timothy Carter. Timothy Carter. This isn't Tim Tuesday. I'm being very generous here. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, Tim? Big fan.
Thanks.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Are you recovering well? I saw the last on cinema. My girlfriend and I were pretty worried when we saw the fire.
Listen, I'm not speaking about on cinema. That's a different thing. You hear me?
Wait, that's not real?
Tim, I'm so sad and so disappointed in you.
No. Okay.
Get off my line. Talk about a newbie, doesn't even listen. Paul.
What's up?
Paul Provisky, wake up, dude. What can I do for you today?
I really didn't think you'd answer, but
well, I did. So let's talk. Well, where are you calling from?
All right. Let's talk. Actually, I'm calling from the road. I play in a touring band called the Ear Funk.
Yeah.
And recently I've been listening to some of your interviews. One I particularly enjoy is one of the really old ones. Can't remember the guy's name from Comedy Bang Bang.
Scott?
Yeah, Scott.
Scott Ackerman?
Yeah. Where you were just so insanely sarcastic, and it was just... I don't think I've ever laughed harder in my entire life.
Well, that's nice to hear. I mean, that's what we're trying to do every day here at Absolutely Productions, is trying to get you to laugh and enjoy life and forget about the troubles that are going on in your own personal life, which I assume are many.
Yes, yeah, many. I love it. Yeah, but then I listened to certain podcasts like, you on Marc Maron, and then he seems to grasp you in a different way and get you to be a little more serious.
Well, it's...
And then this whole different side of you, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those shows, they're different kinds of shows. Scott's show is built around the idea that people are going to come on and do characters and do comedy bits, this and that. And Mark's show, of course, is much more introspective and serious, and I think it would be disrespectful to his show to go on there and try to do some kind of spoof of it, or not respect the medium of it, and there's parts of me that enjoy talking about my life and my work that's sort of not in character or not sort of in a bit or anything, and so I found that there was a period earlier in my career where I felt probably just sincerely embarrassed to actually talk about that, or not seeming that anybody would really care or be interested. And there really wasn't a body of work built up to really have a serious conversation about it, maybe. But
yeah.
Time passes and the opportunity presents itself to, first of all, plug a movie. I think that was promotion for the comedy, which I was desperately trying to help Rick and the producers of that movie get as many people to see it as possible. Of course, Marc Maron has a huge audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go on there on his terms. I wasn't going to go and sabotage the show. And I had a nice conversation with him.
Well, speaking of that, like people with huge audiences, would you ever consider doing Joe Rogan? Or have you ever gotten the request to do that?
Sure. I'm sure if the opportunity presented itself, I'd be happy to do any kind of press that I felt was valuable to the project.
So it has to be valuable to the project. It's not like a willy-nilly
Well, you just have to be smart about it. You have to use your time wisely, and you have to. I wouldn't want to go on his podcast, or if it, I assume he's a huge listenership, from what I understand. I wouldn't want to go on there, and then at some point he goes, "So what do you have coming up?" And you go, "Well, actually, nothing right now." You want to build that around something that you're trying to get people to see. And there's been this bizarre, which I just think absolutely bizarre, critique of me and other people that do stuff and make stuff, that there's this gross quality to promotion and to self-promotion and to spreading the word.
Well, that's bizarre to me.
Well, it's not bizarre to you, no. But people are like, all you do is come on here and promote shit. Well, A, no, I don't. I mean, my Twitter account or whatever. B, I made something, correct? That I want you to see and know about. Because if I don't, nobody will. There's no, big advertisers that are saying, I want to start advertising this, record from this guy, Tim. It's on me. It's on me to go out there and let you know. I'll try to do it creatively. I'll try to do it with some humor, some kind of... not just be gross about it or boring about it.
There's a monetary involvement. Money on the line.
Of course.
Yeah, I get that.
Get eyes on something, get people to buy it, get people to engage in it, and you get to do something else. If you just put it out.
I guess maybe there's a selfish side of me that just wants to see you on Rogan, just see how you two interact.
I don't know much about the guy. I know he's friends with Duncan. I like Duncan, so he's got to be a good guy. I'm sure he's be fascinating to talk to. He seems like he's got a lot of interest. I don't listen to his show, so I couldn't tell you how we would get along. But if he's a reasonable guy, he's a professional guy. We're gonna find something to talk about. Maybe I'll go in there and do Alex Jones for 2 hours straight.
Yeah, and he loves doing Alex Jones impressions. So
he does one too.
Yeah, y'all get along. Yeah.
Well, sure. We can have a Jones off. Where are you playing tonight?
I appreciate it.
Where are you playing tonight?
Damn it. Well, we're near D.C. We're in Vienna, Virginia. And, we're just driving over there right now from New York City.
You have a show tonight?
Yeah, over at Jammin' Java in Vienna, Virginia.
Wow. It's a coffee shop?
There's my plug.
Is it a coffee shop?
I don't know exactly what it is.
Playing at a coffee shop?
To be honest. I'm hoping it's not.
Jeez.
I really hope it's not.
Well, keep plugging away out there.
We're a five-piece band, so that would be good.
Keep plugging away, Paul.
I appreciate it.
What's the name of the band again?
Thanks, Dale. Earfunk. Earphunk.
All right. We'll check it out.
All right, man.
Thanks. Paul. A couple more calls here, and then I've got to go. A lot of work to do today. Going away for the weekend on a writer's retreat. For what? I may not say. What am I writing this weekend? What is this retreat about? What is it about? What is it for? Chris? Chris?
Tim!
Hey!
What's going on, man?
What's going on? Where are you calling from?
I am a creature of the valley as well. North Hollywood, California.
Beautiful, baby. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Hey, I was wondering, this weekend, everybody's talking about it. Parliament Funkadelic at the Hollywood Bowl.
Dude.
What are your feelings on funk music?
Not a fan. But really? Speaking of the Hollywood Bowl, I went to something that I am a fan of last weekend. I went to go see ELO, Jeff Lynne's ELO.
Dude, a new world record, one of the best albums. Time.
One of the best shows I've ever seen. Let me tell you, folks.
Really?
If Jeff Lynne's ELO is coming near you, definitely go and see it. It was one hit after another. It was just turn to stone, but you're gonna turn to stone, and then do it, do it, do it, do it. And all the rest. Oh, what a joy.
Fantastic.
He sounded great.
That sounds fantastic. So, but they dipped their toes into a little disco at one point,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
I mean, that's the shitty stuff, but still.
No, I mean, listen, some of them have real disco-y vibe to it, and I'm into it.
Yeah. Wasn't it John Lennon who said that ELO was going to, like, if the Beatles had continued doing their thing, Electric Light Orchestra is what they would have been? Or am I making that up?
I don't know. I don't know if he said that. I don't know. He said a lot of things.
He did. But, what are your feelings on that guy? Who's your favorite Beatle?
Ooh, that's a good question, isn't it? That's the ultimate question.
We've come to it. It's a crossroads.
You know, I think you get older and you kind of don't, it's a little harder to swallow the John Lennon stuff than when you're like a younger teen. You know, you kind of get some of that caustic, nasty shit isn't quite as exciting anymore, you know, some of that
sure
angry northern English kind of attitude. I love them all, you know. I kind of lean George. I love it all. I love absolutely. It all. They're my boys. I miss them so much.
All Things Must Pass, I mean,
it's a classic. It's great, my favorite great solo record.
Great record.
They're all great. You know, you gotta give Paul credit for keeping that band going after Brian Epstein died. You got this, some of his genius is really all over the place. John Lennon is truly. You look at listen to some of those early records. John Lennon on with the Beatles, I think, and a Hard Day's Night album as well. I think that's where he peaks, believe it or not. I think that's, sure. Just such confidence, that rock and roll voice, so it's its own thing. It doesn't sound like anything else. Doesn't sound like he's imitating anybody. That early stuff, I think, deserves to be re-listened to with fresh ears, because it's strong. It's strong.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Films as well.
Thanks,
Sam.
Bye, Chris. Right.
Take care, brother.
A couple more calls, and I got to go. Jason. Jason, are you there?
Hey there, little Timmy.
Little Timmy, how fucking dare you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, average size Timmy.
What's up?
Nothing much, man.
Quickly.
How you doing?
We're going to go speed round.
Okay, so it's a speed round. I got a sketch for you. Can I pitch a sketch to you?
Absolutely not. Hang up on sketch pitches today. We do not have time. I just saw a lady pull up. I don't see where she went. If you're just calling in with the female gender... you just disappeared. Where'd you go? Blair, this is a man, but Blair Carlisle. Blair, quickly.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
How's it going, my friend?
Good. What's up?
I got a quick question for you. If you were to suggest any type of novel, I'm talking Catcher in the Rye, Great Gatsby, all these great novels, what kind of novel is your kind of novel?
Oh, I was a big Kurt Vonnegut fan. I think you can read just about every one of his books and have a good time with it.
Slaughterhouse-Five, Cat's Cradle.
All that shit. Okay. Everything else is drawing a blank. Thanks so much for the call. We are going quickly. Critty Carr. Critty. KK. Are you there? No, we're blasting through calls. If I don't pick up Sam Forman. Sam Forman, are you there?
Every one of his books and have a good time with it.
Sam, are you there?
Slaughterhouse-Five, Cat's Cradle.
All that shit. Everything. Bye. Okay, we're flying through. Marius.
Yeah.
Hey, hello. What's up? Quick question.
I think I'm about to make friends with an American guy.
Hey,
I live in Norway.
Great.
He invited me to dinner tomorrow.
All right.
You got any tips on like how to act around?
I got a good icebreaker that somebody told me here on Office Hours. You
tell
start
me.
By saying, hey, do you know how much a polar bear weighs?
Okay.
Well, enough to break the ice. All right. Then you can start talking about polar bears or whatever you want. All right, that's my advice. Gotta go. Lee Harvey, I don't like the sound of this. Lee, are you there?
Tim.
What's up?
Hey.
We're running out of time. It's gotta be quick.
Okay. Do you know how much polar bear weighs?
Fuck you, man. Come on. What's going on? I know you didn't call me just to razz me like that.
Well, actually, I just wanted to know. I mean, I don't know what else to do with my life. I'm going to go join the army. Should I go join the army?
No, do anything else. Clean up dog shit.
Okay.
Clean up dog
shit. Thank you.
Get this place clean. Join the army. Yes, it's a proud thing to do. Great thing to do for our country. We need great soldiers. Patrick Lindhorst, quickly, Patrick.
Hi. Proud thing to do. Great thing to do for our country. We need
Patrick.
Hi. How are you? I'm Patrick.
Go. Turn your fucking mute down.
Hey. Yeah. I'm here. Hi.
Mute the stream.
I just want to say hey. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri.
1 minute left. Go. What's your question?
I'm wondering what you're doing tonight, because our web series is showing at the Lyric Hyperion Theater.
I'm not going to be in town. I told you I'm leaving town to go on a writer's retreat. I got to go, Patrick. Okay. Good luck. The Lyric in L.A. Go check out those short films. Colin Garland. We're flying through calls now. Colin Garland.
Hello?
Yes, quickly. What is it?
Hey, Tim. I wanted to share an observation with you.
Please, quickly.
Okay, am I the last caller?
You're the second to last caller. Quickly. What is the observation?
I just want to say, first of all, I'm a huge fan of On Cinema, and I had this revelation one day. I don't know how familiar you are with the play Waiting for Godot, the classic.
Everyone
play.
Is. Everyone that went to college is familiar with that. Thank you for the call, Colin. We can draw that conclusion. I think we all can get there pretty quickly. P.M. Maxwell Ard. Hello?
Tim.
Yes, quickly. You're the last call.
Tim, question. Quick question. And about your old work and new work. You're about to go to a writer's retreat. This is kind of appropriate. Your old work seems very impulsive. Seems like you had an idea, just went with it, didn't question it. Your new work seems more planned out, well-written, writer's retreats, a la. Is that true? Are you going to...
We've always spent time writing. We've always put in some effort towards giving us a foundation to build off of. Some of the more recent work, for example, Bedtime Stories, much more scripted, much more planned out, less improv, less sort of experimental in the way that we're making it, because that's the format of the show that works, that's the vision that we have for the show.
Okay, great. And quickly, too, are you always going to stay with live action sort of stuff? Is there any plans for more animation? Have you thought about VR? Anything like that?
Yeah, that stuff's always floating around. I got too much to do. I've got too much to do. No more fan mail after October 15th. If it arrives, it'll be tossed. I'm saying this with peace and love. All right.
Of course, Bingo. And also, I'd love for you to look at my animation artwork at P. Maxwell Ward on Instagram.
Send me a Facebook message. I'll check it out.
Will do. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, folks, this has been a dream come true. We are going to say goodbye. I want to wish everybody a great weekend. Just get out there and live your life. Make a change. Turn yourself on to some new things. Turn yourself on to a channel you don't normally watch. Watch something with a friend. Everybody's trying to get away with taking a shortcut. Take the long road. If you want to take the long road, you got to go high. If you want to take a shortcut, make it work. A lot of attitudes out there. I don't have time for it. I'm looking for people that care about compassion, honesty. I don't want no illusions. I'm trying to come at you straight. From now on, we're going to be honest with each other. I'm going to tell you how I feel, and you're going to tell me how you feel. From there, we're going to grow. We got to stop the robots from taking our jobs. Or we got to give them all the jobs so we can sit and have some drinks out by the ocean. Go surfing. Surfing on the internet. Until next time, my friends. Live long and prosper, which means have some S-E-X.